The Australian Presbyterian Bible Church, Christ Without Compromise, the Bible Without Qualification, for November the 18th, 2018, reminding us of the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month and the close of World War One. By being in that sort of parallel. Power, Want and Will is the title of the address, based on Mark 9 and 10. And we have three headings: Can and Cannot, Will and Won't, Must and Mustn't. As we look at this, taken from the events recorded in Mark 9 and 10, we find a number of fascinating principles and challenging aspects for our behavior. Can and cannot comes first of all. Now, we look at Mark 9, verse 14. Case a boy. Case trouble since birth. Case demon possession. Detail: throws himself into fire and water. A demonic force is controlling the boy. Nothing that is done can evacuate it. You don't have to start surmising about demons when you see their consequences any more than when you don't have to theorize about doctors when you see what they do. This was demonstrated. Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, and whenever it seizes him, it throws him. He foams, he gnashes his teeth, he becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him, says the Father. Now, Christ's reaction is intensely interesting. I should say response, really. Oh, faithless generation! How long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. It's as though his heart is almost breaking. It's as though he's looking at what sort of a situation in the nation would allow such a demonic possession, where the devil is worshipped and Christ is rebuffed in a level, as has been the case in some of the continents for long times. You can expect secondary infections like demonic possession. But in Israel, they're sunk to the level that this sort of thing goes unbridled. How long will the provocations go on which lead to this type of pollution? Bring him to me. Now notice that there are two aspects. How long will I be with you? And how long shall I bear with you? One, how long can the Son of Man continue in this sort of situation? How long can there be an elasticity sufficient to allow such a nation to continue and for him to be available? How long shall I bear with you? Now that brings up a very fascinating aspect. Matthew 23:37, which you may care to look up. There are different aspects of this bearing with you. Oh, Jerusalem, says Christ. Oh, Jerusalem, he says, as his death draws near, and they reject him through murdering as a method. Quite a good way to have an application turned down, isn't it? You murder the applicant. Oh, Jerusalem! Jerusalem! The one who kills the prophets, stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But notice these next four words. You were not willing. Not he was not willing. How often? On the contrary, you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Here you see, how long shall I bear with you? How long shall I be with you? There's a tension. There's a desire, passionate, that goes to the length of offering his life in the flesh for the ransom of men, of women, of children. And yet, there's no other way. God has provided mercy to a rebel race. Its rebellions are now rising like a bloated face filled with pimples and purples. I wanted to gather your children, but you were not willing. Now, there's no other way. Only judgment can await when you refuse the mercy tram which would have taken you out of this. Oh. See, your house is left to be desolate. You also read of his weeping. How long? There comes a time when it is kinder to delete, to continue the perversion of truth and justice and mercy and righteousness and kindness and reliability and faithfulness. The image is so marred it is like murder to let it continue. Now your house has left you desolate. It's coming. How long? Judgment comes when mercy is refused, its proponent is murdered, and its ways are rejected, scoffed at, scorned, and despised. Then we come to Jeremiah 31:22. Look at that, Jeremiah 31:20, another aspect of how long. How long shall I bear? 31:20. But there's another side. Compassion and mercy is passionately seeking to penetrate, but it will not just give dictatorial orders. So 31:20. Is Ephraim my dear son? Standing for Israel. Is he a pleasant child? For though I spoke against him, I earnestly remember him still. Therefore my heart yearns for him. I will surely have mercy on him, says the Lord. That's the ultimate, after all the judgments have intervened. And there's yet one more we should look at. Hosea. Turn along a little bit from Jeremiah to Hosea, after Ezekiel. And Daniel. And there we are after Daniel at Hosea 11:8. I always love Hosea, one reason being in my 12th year, the matriculation year at Scots College in Melbourne, the principal taught us Hosea, and oh, he did it so well. Hosea 11:8. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I make you like Admah, a king that was defeated early in the Exodus times? How can I set you like Zeboiim, another? My heart churns within me. My sympathy is stirred. I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not man, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come with terror. There you see the determination to save the savable, to fulfill his promise, to implement his mercy, to grant grace, and to finish up the victor. So he takes from mankind his own, known before they were created, not chosen for their works, chosen because he knows them as his own. He would like to have them. Before they sin, he knows them. They're his or they're not his. Their disposition is known. It's not a deterministic thing. It is a thing for people made in God's image to decide whether or not. And in this, God foresees it all, knows it all, and implements it all through predestination. Not one is missed. The 99 and the one, you remember? The one sheep? Not one is missed. How can I bear? Well, we now see some of the depths behind all of that. Cannot. And then we come to this. And the cannot there is simply where God finds that the thing is becoming so despicable and evil that there is no more time that can be given. It becomes a pollutant that is more important than persistence in the evil. Then the Father, if you could do anything for us, your disciples couldn't. Can you do anything for us about my son? If you can believe, I love the way, can you do anything for me? If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Why couldn't we say to the disciples after Jesus has healed the man and the boy with all the pathological symptoms expressed in their horror and evil, devilish dynamic within the poor kid? But he's delivered. Why couldn't we do it, said the disciples? Doesn't come out except by prayer and fasting. Giving of yourself, that's what Christ said. The Son of Man didn't come to be ministered to, but to minister. And to give his life as a ransom for many, notice for many. Offered to all, taken by some, they're the many. How can I bear with you? Yes, yes, let's take that, let's take that. Let's apply that to today. In the national newspaper, The Australian, on page one for this weekend, November 17, 18, we have a big picture of two people. It says, Australia faces a crisis of freedom as a growing number of Christians find themselves bullied out of business and hauled before tribunals for stating their beliefs. These people ran a magazine called White. In that magazine, they fostered normal marriage, normal traditional DNA exhibited marriage, male and female, and they did not exhibit anything else. Eventually, because they took this stand, advertisers dropped off, staff were endangered, they were called homophobes and bigots. Homophobes and bigots because they love the human race as it is made and don't want to have the terrific mistake of hostility to the way you have been produced and trying to change it without the knowledge of the producer or any power to make such productions themselves. The race has become racist in this. Utterly racist. Human racist. It wants to put itself above the God who made it, even when they still don't understand quite how he did it. Nor do they have power to imitate it at all, except to trigger around here and there with it. Say the people concerned who've been forced out of business one individual even offered to burn their house down. They say, we hope the day will soon come when our society can learn to accept people's differences and different points of view and love each other no matter what. A number of advertisers withdrew their sponsorship out of fear of being judged or in protest. We've had to recognize the reality that White magazine is no longer economically viable. To my mind, this is a worst case. It's reported in the same article that a certain photography in Western Australia was taken to the West Australian Equal Opportunity Commission. You see how much opportunity there is? Equal? None or some. Depends what you're trying to do. He agreed to photograph the children of a same-sex couple. Reflect on that. He agreed he would photograph on them. But he said, this is the report, look, I've got to tell you that I've got a conflict of belief in this case, in case they felt more comfortable in getting someone who didn't have a conflict of belief, because, you know, such a person might put his heart into it more naturally. Now, this was extremely courteous, extremely concessive, very gracious on their part. Can I just tell them that somebody who is in the same flavor and passion and feeling as yourself might do better? What was the penalty for this gracious, courteous, thoughtful, concessive approach? This. Can you believe it? At the conciliation hearing. A conciliation because someone was courteous and gracious and thoughtful and true and didn't pretend by lying or through subterfuge to get the business that he was other than he is. What has to happen now from the conciliation? He has to provide an admission of discrimination. He has to say, yep, I was discriminating when I did that. They are forcing him to lie. He knows that he wasn't. Those are his beliefs. They want to make a plastic surgery of his soul. This is equal opportunity. Equal opportunity to be asked to lie. But that's not all. Oh. A written apology is to be published. Let's just take a little look at what's involved here. How long shall I bear with you? Says Christ. Australia needs to consider that if it's going to provoke the Maker eternally, chronically, savagely, with the hypocrisy of daring to use anti-discrimination organization to discriminate. The anti-discrimination enforces, you shall say this, but I don't believe it, say it anyway, enforces discrimination. This hypocritical horror is just part of the depravity which is beckoning this country. It's no use looking at other countries who've had varied histories. We've had marvelous deliverances after war, after war, after war. Australia is changing. You thumb your nose at God, does it not occur that you don't have his power or his wisdom? Have you planned to pretend that nothing made us, that there's nothing to it and never could be, but I'm here? First of all, in this matter, I see an ideological invasion. We have this ideology. We think that things have come from here or there or somewhere, not from the all-wise, all-knowing, creative, constructive God. No, not that. The DNA, we ignore. All right, then, write it. Write for yourself so we can be sure, doctor, that you're satisfactory. No, I won't. Why won't you? Because I can't. Well, you can't. And you're telling us to ignore the way we're made and to follow your thoughts based on, literally based on, nothing. You want us to be irrational. So it's an ideational invasion, ideological invasion. It's a truth-bending dictatorship. You will say that you were guilty of discrimination. But I was. You will say it. A truth-bending dictatorship. A religious totalitarianism. You. For what? The government has its own rules. First, as far as sexuality is concerned, this is the way it's to be. Second, don't worry about the DNA. We've got it all organized. With what? Three, your conscience is under rule. If we tell you something, do it. But isn't that exactly the way the USSR was? freedom of religion, except the exact opposite? Well, it does have a resemblance, it certainly does. Totalitarianism is the name for that sort of thing, and hypocrisy is the moral aspect that we need to consider. We don't want Australia to go asking for trouble. If we love our nation, we don't want it to be showing itself guilty of anti-discrimination authorities being used to enforce discrimination, while paid some of them enormous salaries for the privilege of such a polluted purpose. We turn, having considered this, having delivered a warning in God's name. If you don't believe in God, that won't affect him. If you won't listen to him, that won't shut him up. He won't do to you what you're doing, some of you, to the Australian people. He won't treat you like that. He won't invade your conscience the way the conscience of this person is being invaded. This is an horrific act. And much more has been done more subtly for many years. This is the crest of the wave. Then we come to, if you can believe, we're talking of can, you can't do this, you can believe. You see Christ there, healing flowing from his hands, like drips from the towel or onto the towel of someone who's just been swimming. Just a flash of mercy, power, healing, people coming from other nations. Nothing challenging him in word, in work, in deed. He says, if I hadn't come amongst you and done the works that no one else has ever done, if I hadn't come amongst you and spoken the words that no one else has ever spoken, you wouldn't have said many sin for the rejection of Christ. Wouldn't matter that you hadn't seen the evidence. But now, he said, your sin remains. These things need to be considered. You can neither waft the laws of God, nor the laws of chemistry, nor the laws of physics, nor the laws of astronomy away by will. These things are settled. All of them proved in their own way. In my 243 books, I've been at some pains to do the proof. In all their time on the web, nobody has ever moved an inch. Because when you're arguing for the truth, it's much easier. And the power of God helps you. So we turn to the next consideration. Will won't. Will won't. The human will can't be ignored. If you will to believe something, I have to believe that my wife is sincere and honest. I believe I can't be stirred. All right, you will believe that. Good on you. Terrible thing to start believing on the basis of what you hear. You will. I will stand by my principles, whatever you do. Whip me. Rob my money, do whatever else you want to do in a diligently devilish fashion. Say the martyrs. I will not move. Worship the emperor. I will not. Worship the Australian governmental anti-discrimination authorities and the paths which push them forward. I will not. Much the same, except one has gone further, longer. I will. I won't. Let's have a look at 9:43. Of Mark. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Now, of course, a lot of these parables excite the imagination, vividly intimate to the mind, but they're not a literal indication, they're a metaphorical indication. But that doesn't mean that the principle doesn't apply. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. What will not love cannot endure. There is no way for this race designed as God made it unless it loves. We have for thousands of years, perhaps six, something like that, we have for thousands of years have been not doing it right. We have for thousands of years been showing none of the other ways works. The beautiful scientific Germany didn't work. The marvelous ideological French Revolution, liberty, fraternity, doesn't work, didn't work. The British Empire, obviously, insofar as it was seeking in part to obey the Bible, a very mercifully fluent one, compared with some, didn't work in the end because you can't rule the church by a nation when the nation isn't Christian as a whole. If the nation rules the church and the nation isn't Christian, then you've got to have trouble in the end, and it came. And yes, minister, I remember at one stage they're looking at a bishop. Is the prime minister happy with the appointment of this bishop? Oh, well, he believes, I mean, pretty much the way I believe, or something like that. It was apparent that the bishop's beliefs were not in very good order, but were quite friendly with the thoughts of the government. So he goes in. You can't do it, and they didn't do it. It doesn't matter what you do. As it says in Ezekiel, overthrow, overthrow. Take off the crown. Take off the turban. It will not last. Rule will not last until he comes to rule the world whose right it is. That's in Ezekiel 21:27. Overthrown. Overthrown. I will make it overthrown. It shall be no longer until he comes whose right it is. And I will give it to him. Will won't. I will give up this sin. I won't. You must change your ways. I won't. If you don't change, you're walking into trouble. I don't care. Don't care was made to care. I don't care if he was made to care. I don't care. And so on. Won't and will. So the people listen to Christ when he says it is better for you to lose money, prestige, power, a job, something. Are you going to cut it off rather than enter maimed into hell, as it were, rather than subverting your entire personality by flat out rebellion against what is clearly stated by Christ? Not be a good soldier, become a deserter. They used to shoot deserters in some of the wars. It's not to endorse the practice, but it's to indicate the principle. Then again, in the will won't category, we come to marriage. Mark 10, 1 to 12. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? What did Moses command you? Answers Christ to the interrogator. Well, Moses permitted a man to divorce his to write a certificate of divorce and to dismiss her. Great! What love, marvelous masculine liberty. Jesus answered and said to them, because of the hardness of your heart. 10. 5. He wrote you this precept. But from the beginning it was not so. From the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then there are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Whosoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. In Matthew, it's made clear that there is a singular exception. If your wife or husband, as the case may be, commits adultery, you are perfectly free to divorce. But not otherwise. Not because they no longer appeal. Not because they've become poor or impoverished you. Not because they've made various mistakes or they jar on your beautiful personality. Not because you've detected a certain incompatibility which has been enhanced by your perception of a certain compatibility with some other woman and so on. Will? Won't. The Mohammedans give enormous authority to the male. There are times when I think of it as almost like a men's club in some ways. Two women to equal one man's testimony concerning something is one of the phases you find. But they're not the only ones. Many people will even try and use the Bible. They'll say that it says that the wife's got to obey the husband. That's that. So, there, do that, would you? But there, I don't agree with that. Just do it, right? Thank you. Boy, what some women have had to endure. In that passage, now know that it's Ephesians 5, which deals with this issue thoroughly. Ephesians 5. The husband has got to be willing to sacrifice himself. Then you can go ahead and preside and make decisions. Sacrifice himself for the wife. So, dear, I want you to do this. I'm sorry, dear, it goes against my conscience and principles. I say, does it really? Let's look into that. I certainly don't want to invade your conscience, but I do think we should, etc. Then they work it all out, and the husband has the final say. But the wife, of course, will not permit a sin for the husband. He's not God. You don't go against God. You don't put more authority into the husband than the God who gave it to him. No one should ever accept from anyone a command to sin. That would be ludicrous. Can and can't, we've come to will and won't. Will our husband act that way? Or won't he? Will he just join with the boys and go out and enjoy himself and old wife slugs away at home? I don't know. Of course, this is the other side, but of course there is. It's the cunning feminine side that can also have its own craft and ways and manners and purposes and so on. In fact, without love, marriage is pretty well meaningless. How can two go together when they're facing in opposite directions? Right, and so we come to the low heights door in Mark 10:15, still on will won't, 10:15. Assuredly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter into it. 2 points. First, when a truck goes under a bridge, there's often a limit to the height that the truck and its cargo may reach safely. So here there is a height to which you may reach. Does this mean that you forsake your intellect? Of course it doesn't. Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Love the Lord with all your mind. You must use it. Test the spirits. But it also means that with the natural warm love of a child, you should receive the Father by faith. By trust. And that is another matter. It is one thing to know what to do. It is another thing quite to do it. The relationship is trust. You may have 10,000 reasons to do it, but may shiver at the very thought of some woman once said to me, it was a woman in this particular case, so historically we noted, so I'm afraid of what might happen if you became my Lord. Fear of the unknown, but it's not unknown. I always love that. It's not going to be contrary to all that's written in this book that's required of you. If that isn't enough, what is? So, you come with 100% trust. You realize that God is God. You realize that salvation is true, that it works, that it's fostered, that it's gotten endless things in the Bible by which you can check it out in the realm of prophecy and in the realm of watchfulness. And when you find him, you find that he is faithful, and you don't need appointments as you do with some doctors. Will or won't receive it as little child? I absolutely trust Christ. When I come to him and seek wisdom and so on, I trust him if I've been careful to present my case. Will or won't? Trust him. And use your mind with it. And come with a surrender. Finally, must or must not. We come to 10. To 9:30. Then they departed from there and passed through Galilee, and he didn't want anyone to know it. For he taught his disciples and said to them, "The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And after he is killed, he will rise the third day." They didn't understand. It was a bit hard to take. Earlier he'd said, as in 9:12, "Elijah is coming first and restores all things. It's written concerning the Son of Man that he must suffer many things." There is to be a whole regime of suffering, a regimen of suffering. And there's another must: be treated with contempt. So this has got to happen. Humiliation, perseverance, sacrificial wholeheartedness, suffering many things, taking the position of a ransom for man. He must do it, and so must his disciples. Except you take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. It's rather like athletics coach saying, "Look, unless you're willing to go through all that's required, you might as well forget trying to get to the Olympics." With Christ, with God, it is obviously the same. With God, you can't play around. He gives you tremendous liberty, but you can't just take the structure of things for granted. So take up your cross, follow him, receive the ransom, and rejoice. Amen. Our Father, we praise thee for thy goodness, for the fact that we're able to take up the cross. Enabled, directed. It's clear. It's not vague. It's not uncertain. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter, he will be saved." No judicious equivocation. Clear, direct, sure, steadfast. Like you, we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name.